What is going on? It is the Ethos Clippers podcast coming at you here on Sunday evening after Los Angeles Clippers fall to the Milwaukee Bucks without Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. But they did win yesterday, knocking off the Chicago Bulls after a very sleepy start in the matinee Saturday. So I guess one of two is okay. Not great, but listen, the deck was certainly against them today with no Kawhi and Paul George. I am your host, Brandon Marcus, joined by my co-host, Matt Matawarn, back on the Ethos Clippers podcast. Matt, how are you, my friend?
Sports Ethos Clipper Nation, Brandon Marcus. How the heck are you? Just got back from an Oscars party. Now, not the Oscars party you might imagine. It was myself, my mom, and my friend Carlos. Still took me forever to get home, which is why we're doing the late recording. Brandon, thank you so much. You must like me.
You must really like me. I do. I'm not sure I like you as much as you like Elf Bowling, though, which probably should have been the one that won Best Picture, right?
I mean, highway robbery that Elf Bowling did not win Best Picture. I mean, are we ever going to find out if Christmas can be spared?
Listen, if they couldn't figure that out in Home Alone, I don't know if we'll ever be able to figure it out.
Darn it.
Yeah, you know what? Tough. Who won Best Picture, by the way? Was it Oppenheimer or was it Barbie?
It was Oppenheimer, and it was actually a pretty funny Al Pacino delivery. He opens the envelope and he says, "My eyes see Oppenheimer." That's my Pacino. It's going to be a meme tomorrow.
That's all he
believe
said.
Believe you me. He opens the thing. He's like, "Okay, here's the Best Picture. My eyes see Oppenheimer." And then it was like a pause. And then everybody celebrates. It's very strange.
I'm sure everybody had to make sure that was the case because, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, whenever he hosts the Oscars, it's now known that there could be a controversy and everyone who's actually going to win Best Picture. So you never know. But listen, you know what we do know? That the Los Angeles Clippers are not the team that we want them to be when Kawhi and Paul George are sitting. As much as we have given Paul George grief over the last several podcasts in terms of the way he's been playing. But first off, this has been discussed ad nauseum, and credit to Brian Seaman, play-by-play broadcaster for the Clippers, for pointing it out. But apparently this game was illegal in the fact that completely against the rules of the NBA, playing a game within 24 hours of each other. That just is not supposed to happen. The Clippers played yesterday at 1 p.m., and today they played at 12 p.m., but it's actually even 11 a.m. because of the time change. So 22 hours between tip. So it makes complete sense why Kawhi Leonard and Paul George didn't play, and frankly, I'm totally okay with it. And I would have been fine if James Harden sat also, because he has played a lot of minutes. And when we go through the game today, one of the things we're going to talk about is James Harden's shooting and how we would want him to step up in a situation like this, but he did not. And you can say that because you clearly got James Harden because you want him to step up in situations like this where he needs to be the star and score the basketball and hopefully carry you in games. But at the same time, the dude is playing two games in 24 hours, and let's give the guy a break. He's not a young pup. So it's tough, and it's just the deck was certainly against the Clippers in this back-to-back, and I guess you take the loss today. The Clippers competed, but I guess 1 out of 2 is fine, Matt.
1 out of 2 is good, and Brian Seaman also mentioned he was, and I agree with him on this, he was pretty sure that the coaching staff probably came to James Harden and said, would you like to rest today? And he was like, no.
Yeah.
It gets me out of rhythm. I don't like missing games, because he doesn't. Like, whatever faults you may attribute to James Harden, you and I have talked about this even before the trade. He is a gamer and he does play. So kudos to him. Having these two back-to-back afternoon games is absolutely ridiculous, legal or not legal. Just insane. And I would not have faulted Harden for sitting, but he didn't. He played, and you know, the guy's probably exhausted. So to win the game against the Bulls, which we'll go into, was a bit of a struggle. But to even be close and to threaten to win this game was actually it just goes to show how much this team kind of wants it and does take the regular season seriously, as much as we may have given them grief recently.
Yeah, and shout out to the NBA, by the way, because this week the Clippers have a back-to-back at Chicago and at New Orleans, 5 p.m. and 5 p.m. start time. So it is separated by a whole 24 hours. So the Clippers, once again, will not have much rest at all. And I wouldn't be surprised to see James sit on Thursday. Like you said, he probably will fight it and try to play through it. But at the same time, everyone's going to be all hands on deck for the game against Minnesota on Tuesday, a monstrous game coming up in a couple of days. And so maybe after that game, you give him a rest and then you get him ready to go against New Orleans on Friday, another big game for the Clippers. And then you play against Sunday, and then you have a little bit of a break before taking on Portland. So you give him that game off on Thursday, so he only has to play three games this week, and then he's ready to go for the following week with the two games against Portland and the one against Philadelphia. I think that would make a lot of sense. I'm not sure if that's what the Clippers will do, but I think that's what I would do if I was the front office and Ty Lue. If they're trying to buy James Harden a game, that probably would be it.
You got to give the guy a little bit of time off, even if he doesn't want it, because the playoffs are right around the corner. And yeah, it's the schedule. And we talked about this at the beginning of the season. The schedule in March is just so robust, and there's so many back-to-backs. He's got to get a little bit of rest up in there, and it'll give guys like Bones, the sluggish, ruggish Bones of the world, it'll give them a little more experience. So in the middle of the week, you're right. Maybe one of these, maybe against the Bulls.
Yeah.
Have him take some time off.
And remember, when we did this podcast last, we were talking about this March schedule, and I said, yeah, there's a lot of games, but despite that, don't be surprised if the Clippers are only underdogs in the game at New Orleans this coming Friday and at Philadelphia on Wednesday the 27th. And I was right until Kawhi and PG were ruled out. The Clippers were 3.5-point favorites going into this Milwaukee game. The line changed and it moved 10 points. It went from Clippers minus 3.5 to Milwaukee minus 6.5. It moved 10 points because of those two guys not playing. And so if you would have somehow been a Clippers fan and probably thought, like probably most of us did, that there's probably going to be Kawhi or PG sitting this ball game because of the quick turnaround. And if you would have bet early on, knowing, not with your heart, but you would have known through your brain the Clippers were probably going to sit guys, you could have won some easy money there, because the Clippers should have never been favored in this ball game, although they competed. But that's not where I want to start. I want to start this podcast off with pajamas, because it is late at night. We're about to get into our pajamas, and we have to talk about PJ Tucker, because I wanted to talk about him in the first place, because I have been talking, and I received a little inside information about what's been going on with the Clippers. And here's what happened today. PJ Tucker inserted in the starting lineup with no Kawhi and no Paul George. And he was asked, Ty Lue was, would it have been tough for PJ Tucker to find a rhythm? And Ty said it might have been tough for PJ Tucker to find a rhythm, because obviously he's starting for the first time in a while. He's not playing a lot of minutes usually. You look at today's game, and PJ Tucker ended up playing 25 minutes. I mean, that's the most he has played as a Clipper in a very long time, I assume. And Tucker then disagreed with that when he was asked about it. He said, tough, finding out the morning of that you're going to start and play minutes for the first time in 5 months in the NBA, I don't know. There's got to be a better word than tough. Listen, man, this guy is making like $11 or $12 million a year to be a dude that frankly doesn't have it anymore. And he wanted to leave. He was thrown in along with James Harden to make the salaries work. Trust me, the Clippers would have much rather kept Nicholas Batum instead of acquiring PJ Tucker. But you get PJ Tucker, you think, you know what, he could be that small ball five. He's a guy that can shoot the three ball. Nope, he doesn't really have it. He doesn't have it at all. And if a team thought he had it, they would have traded for him at the deadline. But they didn't want to take on his money because they knew he wasn't worth that amount of money. And PJ Tucker wouldn't take less money to take a buyout, and the Clippers don't want that dead money sitting on their books. And so both parties are just equally effed, whereas the Clippers have to keep him because they don't want to screw themselves, and Tucker has to sit and play for a team that doesn't want to play him. So it's a really bad situation right now. And to add to that, to what I just teased, I was talking to somebody recently, And they were talking to somebody on the Clippers, and they said the biggest thing right now is what's going on in the locker room. And that is that PJ Tucker, obviously, the whole situation with him going out in the media, and it's become a bit of a distraction and something that has been really hampering this team. And what's interesting about that is that the Clippers keep winning games. Certainly, they haven't done as much since the All-Star break, but if you remember, they were pretty good going into the break. And with all that going on behind the scenes with sending home PJ Tucker, credit to the locker room somehow staying together despite all this, because this could certainly be something that could tank the season. But the fact that they're still top four despite this is certainly a feather in their cap. But man, this is a situation that I think the Clippers might be better off, honestly, just sending him home for the rest of the year. Because if he's going to be a distraction in the locker room and think he's better than he is, then I don't think he's worth keeping on the roster. And despite people's pleas that maybe he could be that situational big that you can throw in there during a playoff series, try and do it without him, man. I just don't think that he's a guy that I want on my team. How do you feel about the situation?
So as nervous as I was sitting on my mom's couch with Carlos, watching Al Pacino give the Oscar, I was so nervous that Elf Bowling wasn't going to win, but I was much more nervous that you were going to say something about PJ Tucker proving himself or that he needs to play or that his energy or something along those lines. When you said, let's talk about PJ Tucker, I said, oh no, what are we going to do here? Like, this is going to be the biggest disagreement we've ever had. Contrary to that, my worries, it's the biggest agreement we've ever had. The last time I wore pajamas was when I was a child. And that's probably the last time Pajamas Tucker was even great on a basketball court. There is no way. I don't care the effort. I don't care the offensive rebounds. Whatever you may have seen tonight, the shot, the three-point shot that rattled in and Westbrook went nuts off the bench, I don't care. He is such a distraction to this team, and I'm just talking strictly basketball and in the locker room and all this kind of stuff. I'm sure he's the nicest guy in the world. I don't think pajamas should play. And I got really scared too in this game when he blocked. I forgot who he blocked, but Ty Lue challenged, and Brian Seaman or the czar said, you know, Ty's going to trust his vets. I was like, don't trust PJ Tucker pajamas as your vet, though. Like, that's not the vet you trust. And they ended up winning the challenge, so it was a good call ultimately. But I was just like, boy, what do they see in him that we don't? And the I don't have the inside info that you have, but you can see a lot of times when he's on the bench, he's scowling, or it's just sort of a vibe you get. And we've been talking about vibes a lot this season, and I don't necessarily think, and I agree with you, that the Clippers do not benefit from Pajamas Tucker being in this lineup. And I was so scared that you were going, I'm serious, man. I was so scared that you were going to say, should we try to incorporate him as a small ball five or something? I'm so glad you went the other way, or the way that I was thinking. In that, boy, he just does not belong in this lineup, especially come playoff time, and especially if the Clippers want to make a championship run.
3 for 9, 1 for 6 from downtown. Not going to cut it. He needed to hit his threes today when he was open. Granted, he was not the only one that missed from three, but the leash is a lot shorter on a guy like PJ Tucker than it is for other dudes. I mean, listen, Norm Powell was freaking awful from three-point range today. He was 3 of 14. James Harden was 1 for 6. I mean, there were a lot of shots that really would have been huge for the Clippers. I mean, Mann and Coffey both had open threes when the game was close that they weren't able to hit. But listen, Coffey was 4 of 6 from downtown. You can't have him make all of them, even if they are wide open. Like, you're going to miss a couple. And besides for Powell's terrible game offensively, I think that PJ Tucker is really the next one that really need to be picked on.
And you just talked about Powell and Tucker. Remember when PJ stepped on Norm's foot and sent him to the locker room? I was like, oh my God, really? Is this about to happen?
Could you imagine if PJ Tucker got the start in this game and the contribution that he gave in the ball game was injuring the Clippers' best bench player? Could you imagine if that happened?
It looked like that was going to be the case.
Oh my God. By the way, Norm was 6 of 7 on his twos. So, and he was the reason why the Clippers were even in it in the first place when we were coming down the stretch. I mean, he was hitting big three after big three after big shot, and he was huge in the fourth quarter. I mean, I think he had 12 or 14 points in the third, and he kept going in the fourth quarter. He was monstrous, but the Clippers just ran out of gas at the end. But with PJ Tucker, he got the start because the Clippers wanted to keep the bench unit kind of as close to as what it normally is as possible. Don't blame Ty Lue at all for doing that. I think it makes a lot of sense what he did. PJ Tucker supposedly supposed to be the Giannis stopper. Giannis had 34.7 rebounds and 10 assists. So much for that. PJ Tucker was a minus 9 in his time on the floor, so he was not great. I get it in terms of why he did that. But I think it's time to put him back on ice, and I just don't think he's helping this Clippers team. And listen, at this point, if you're going to need him to come in the ball game to be that small ball five, just go with Daniel Theis, man. Just go with Daniel Theis. Daniel Theis today was a plus 17. If you're going to put a guy alongside Zoo, I'd rather it be someone like Kawhi as at the four. But if you're not going to have Kawhi at the four, then go with Amir Coffey or even Daniel Theis with a guy like Zoo or Plumlee. I'd rather have somebody that's not PJ Tucker on the floor, because at least Theis can hit a three, where, I mean, he has not been great from three recently, but overall there's more of a threat for him than it is normally for a guy like PJ Tucker. So I'm done with PJ. I'm good if we don't see him the rest of the season.
I'm done too. Look, the laundry room in my huge complex, my terrible apartment complex that I'm dying to move out of in Koreatown, the laundry room is broken. So pajamas, Tucker, are the only pajamas that are washed in my life, but he's washed. But speaking of the Giannis stopper, I thought, you know, despite the plus minus, despite his box, Giannis's box score, I didn't mind Zoo on him, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, he Giannis got a lot of, when he gets going, when he gets motion, when he's like just driving to the basket, there's really no stopping it. But when they threw it to him down low and Zoo was able to body him up, and of course he got five fouls, he's not the Giannis stopper, but Zubac was kind of amazing in this game in his 26 minutes, despite the five fouls, but 9 of 11 from the field. I mean, and 18 points with that. I thought Zoo was great. But pajamas is washed. He's done.
Yeah, pajamas is washed. And before we go and talk about the good guys on the Clippers, I think it's deserving to take a break, and so we can separate pajamas with the rest of the Clippers. So let's go ahead and step aside for a quick moment. All right, so you mentioned Zoo. And listen, this is a dude that we have praised on this podcast all the time. We want him playing more than he actually plays at times. And yeah, I think he did a decent job on Giannis. I mean, there was a time where he was guarding him on the baseline. I think it was in their third or fourth quarter, and he was staying with him. He was moving his feet, staying with him, and Giannis hit the shot. But man, it took a really good shot to actually get those 2 points.
That was like a mid-range shot from like the elbow, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Zoo was staying with him, man, and he was just keeping his feet in front of him, and that's all you could ask from him. I mean, we've seen Zoo on Luka before. We've seen Zoo on Jokic. I mean, Zoo really can do it all. And so for him to stay on Giannis the way he did, I mean, credit to him. And offensively, man, he was stellar. To go 9 of 11 from the field and be as efficient as he was, and to do it against guys like Brook Lopez and Giannis and Portis down low, he had a really nice game. I mean, he was a minus 19. But I don't think that's fair to really throw that on him. I think that was just kind of the way the lineups shaked out. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think Zoo played a nice game defensively, and I think it gives the Clippers a little bit of hope that hopefully they can play him bigger minutes and trust him against various different players come playoff time.
I think so, too. And I know in the last podcast I talked about people will make adjustments against Zoo, but If he's able to switch and to play people outside on the perimeter, and to, when not everybody fights through screens and he has to be switched onto not a Damian Lillard, but let's say like a Jamal Murray or a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, some sort of guard like that. If he can have that footwork to stay in front of them to at least bother their shot, I'm very confident in Zoo come playoff time. He's got to be healthy. He looked healthy today, much healthier than he had looked in recent games. So Great to see him getting back into form. And to take away a lot from this game, as far as like negative, I think really just the PJ Tucker stuff is really this is really what stands out from the negative. But from a positive, I mean, Brian Seaman was saying this. If we're talking about B. Seaman, he was talking about the energy that the Clippers came out with, and at least they really, really they hung with the Bucks, right? They almost played better than they played fully healthy last week. So
oh, they played better than they did yesterday. I mean, look at that game against
Chicago.
Against Chicago. Yeah, I mean, they played better.
You're right. They had way more energy, and they came out with a fire and maybe hopefully that bleeds into the stars and into the starters and kind of lights a fire into these guys, because that's what they need. Energy has been lacking, and a sense of urgency has been lacking. And urgency begins now, because he talked about the schedule coming up, and it's no cakewalk. I mean, you look at the schedule, you're like, oh, they got a couple of Portland games coming up. Yeah, but that's a little bit down the road. Guess who's first? You know, it's the T-Wolves, it's the Pelicans, like you said. It's the Hawks, which are not a hawk in the park, despite what you may think.
But I'm
so these guys have to have some urgency. Yeah. I hope this game, and especially the Bulls one with guys healthy, lights a fire under them.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it really seems like the Clippers are probably going to be in that four spot unless Minnesota starts to lose without Karl-Anthony Towns, which is really possible. I mean, if the Clippers beat Minnesota in this next game, all of a sudden, the three seed is definitely possible. And who knows where the Clippers are going to end up, whether it's three or four. Ideally, I think you want to avoid the Pelicans just because it seems like the Pelicans have really had the Clippers' number. And right now, if the playoffs were to start today, the Clippers would be the four, the Pelicans would be at the five. But when I say that at the same time, like, Phoenix is the six seed. So if you're the three seed, you're playing against Phoenix. So it's like Phoenix, New Orleans, you've never been afraid of the Suns. But I think the Pelicans maybe, I don't know. I don't know which team I'd fear more. I think you'd really ideally just want Sacramento to jump into that sixth spot. But Dallas is right there as well. So who knows? You can't really control your own destiny. So either way, basically what I'm saying is you just got to win ball games and you'll kind of see what happens. Yesterday, honestly, the Clippers looked like absolute dog, you know what, in the first half, and they were 8.5-point favorites for a reason. It was a mediocre Bulls team, but one that you and I talked about last podcast that had the dudes to make it competitive. I mean, Caruso is very good defensively. You have DeRozan, you have Vooch, you have those dudes that can score, and listen, the Clippers finally were able to put it together in the second half, but it's one of those things that you just want to shake them and be like, come out with that same energy, and they did today. And they were there. I mean, it really came down to just three-point shooting. It's as simple as that, where tired legs certainly were evident in this ball game. And it's really as simple as you look at the Clippers. They were 6 of 22 in the first half. And then down the stretch, they were 6 of 22 until the last second coffee three. And when you're 6 of 22 and then 6 of 22, that's 12 of 44, and your opponent at that point, shooting 46%, they were 17 of 37. That's not where they ended. But at that point, with like a minute left, that's what the numbers were, and that's really what matters. I mean, when you're shooting that poorly from three and your opponent shooting that well, you're not going to win. And that's really what made the difference today. And the Clippers had a couple of threes. If one of those Powell threes goes down, one of those Coffee and Man threes goes down, all of a sudden the Clippers win this ballgame. And so the loss sucks, but the effort was there. The shots just simply didn't go down.
And speaking of the shots not going down and three-point shooting and Norm, he's 5 of 23 in those two games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not great.
Yeah, there's a pause there for a reason, because that's crazy. He can't be 5 of 23. And it just goes to show you, like, we always talk about this finite sort of this really shaky level that the Clippers live on, and Norm has been just lights out from three, not these two games, and it shows in the performance.
Dude, the Clippers rolled out a lineup today when they had a lead of Brandon Boston Jr., PJ Tucker, Daniel Tice, Bones Highland, and Norman Powell. Those five dudes were in a game together against Giannis. So to do that and to still have a chance to win, I mean, it's not ideal, especially when PJ Tucker is getting open threes during that lineup and missing them. And Tucker missed an open three later on. The Bucks opened a lead after that. Like, listen, that lineup sucks. And it's if you're not hitting shots, you're screwed. And it's not a surprise the Clippers went from scoring more points in the first to less points in the second, less points in the third. Like, they just had tired legs. And you look at how the defense showed up. In the first half, the Clippers only allowed 4 fast break points, according to Law Murray. They had allowed 10 in the first 8 minutes of the third quarter. Like, they just were tired. They didn't have the energy they had to get out the first half. I mean, you've seen it. You get coffee and you start off strong, and then all of a sudden you start to kind of fade away as the coffee wears off. And it really felt like that energy faded off for the Clippers in the second half. So normally we'll come on here, and if we get frustrated with a blown lead, I'm not going to get frustrated after today. I think the Clippers were just tired, Matt.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think there's – I'm actually more frustrated with the win against the Bulls, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Because I thought – like you said, that was a poorer performance, and that's healthy. I thought that was – you shouldn't have to come back and win that game. You should kind of sort of dominate, put your foot down, show your authority. I mean, of course they have some good players, but they don't – Lonzo is out. Maybe forever. Zach LaVine's not in the mix. So Kobe White's ascended, of course, and you have Vooch, and you have Dosunmu, they have competent players. But if you're a title contender, put your foot down, stomp on the Bulls, have it over by halftime. And I was way more concerned with the win than I was by the loss.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially when I mentioned that Mann and Coffey missed shots today, they were still 12 of 21 combined, and they were 6 of 12 from 3. And Coffey had 16 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and a block. T-Man had 16 points and 2 blocks. Like, those dudes contributed. And we already talked about Zoo and PJ Tucker, those are the other starters, along with James Harden. And listen, Norman just missed shots. He still had 26 points, but he missed shots. So there's not a whole lot you can do in a game like this where your opponent is shooting as well as they are from 3. I mentioned the numbers. They ended up shooting 45% from downtown, 17 of 38. The Clippers were 14 of 47. I mean, 3 different threes, or 3 made threes, that is 9 points. The Clippers lost by 7. Like, it really is that simple. And that is, by the way, with the Clippers going 9 of 10 from the line and Milwaukee going 21 of 27. So 12 more made free throws, 3 more made threes. You're not going to win many games like that. I mean, give credit, the Clippers still had 52 rebounds to 41 from Milwaukee, 17 offensive rebounds. I mean, this is without Kawhi and Paul George. Like, that means that it's really about energy and hustle. And the Clippers got 4 offensive rebounds from PJ Tucker. I mean, I wanted to come on this podcast before that stupid quote and give him credit for some of the defense he played and the rebounding. But the missed shots and that quote, like, that are enough to really send me over the edge on him. So the 3 rebounds offensively for Zoo and for Harden, and you got a couple offensively for Mann and Brandon Boston Jr., who, by the way, had a decent shift. I mean, he wasn't good, but he wasn't bad. I mean, 5 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 of 9 from the field wasn't good. So the offense wasn't good. There was some defense that was hit or miss, but dude's got a chance to play. And so overall, it's just you can't be mad at this performance. There is one guy, though, that I do want to talk about that we haven't hit on. And it's someone that you brought up last podcast. You asked me how I felt about Bones Highland and his role as the backup point guard. Now I'm going to turn this on you because you've seen 2 more games with Bones Highland in the Clippers win over the Bulls, a 10-point victory, and then today's loss against the Bucks. Do you feel better about Bones as the backup point guard now? Do you feel worse or do you feel about the same?
I feel about the same. I feel that Bones is serviceable to be a backup point guard in the regular season in games like this. If we're in a 7-game series, the Clippers are, against anybody, I don't have very much confidence that he's going to be the guy that should get 21 minutes, that he only got 13 against the Bulls and the Clippers ended up winning, but 21 minutes today against the Bucks and we lose. I don't have very much confidence in Bones Highland. I think he's a good player. He's got some skills. I don't see the I don't know. I don't see the same thing that I saw maybe last year in that he's controlling the floor. It's like the Westbrook factor. Westbrook, it's ironic because Westbrook went out, so he takes his place, but Westbrook's out, so Westbrook can't be his mentor. And I just don't see him controlling the court and making a positive impact on the team. So I don't feel good about Bones Highland. And I know that's maybe controversial. I'm sorry to Ethos Clipper Nation out there. I don't feel that great about him, to be honest with you. You?
Interesting. We don't disagree often. I'm going to disagree here part of what you just said, because you and I have been in agreement that when it comes playoff time, you're going to see Ty Lue shrink his rotation. And you will hear people say, well, it'll be a game when you go to Ty Lue. And like that, I mean, when you go to Bones Highland, that may happen because in the playoffs, we always see Ty Lue tinker, and he may go to Bones in a game. But for the regular season, for right now, with no Russell Westbrook, I really like the job that Bones Highland has done. And I mentioned in the last podcast that I was okay with his. He was throwing up some threes. He was playing decent defense. He was facilitating. Bones Highland's job was just not to mess up. And we talked about it, how limiting the turnovers and not doing stupid things, and you'd be fine. Today, Bones Highland had zero turnovers in 21 minutes. That's what I'm talking about. You keep hold of the basketball. You give the Clippers more possessions, which they did today, by the way. 104 shots compared to Milwaukee's 87. And you have a chance to win ball games, just like the Clippers did today. And there was a possession where Bones Highland, in today's game, back-to-back possessions, blew past Brook Lopez and got a layup. And that, by the way, is something that I think he can continue to do. And working with Russell Westbrook and James Harden, two dudes who are kings at getting to the hoop in two different ways, whereas Harden does his crossover and then gets past the defender, Westbrook just uses his speed. And so the combination of both of those is certainly going to help Bones grow, I think. So first possession, he blew past Lopez. Then he had a step back three over Portis, and that gave the Clippers a 98-96 lead. Those two different ways that he scored gives me some confidence that this is a guy who we saw at the start of the year, and we wanted him to play more, and we want him to grow and to be that young guy the Clippers can maybe use later on the next couple of years and maybe be that backup point guard this year. The more and more minutes he gets to under his belt, I think the more and more comfortable he's going to get. And I'm very pleased with what I'm seeing from him. Today, he was able to hit a couple of threes. He's playing decent defense. He's not turning over the basketball. So I'm very pleased with what I'm seeing with from Bones Highland.
And I get that. A couple of things. I don't think we're disagreeing. First of all, my dad could blow by Brook Lopez, and he's been dead for almost 8 years. But I think we're saying the same thing. Bones is good in the regular season.
Yeah, but he could have his moment in the postseason. I could see it happening. It's just more unlikely.
He can have a moment, but I don't trust him to be that guy. I mean, I guess I'm saying I want Russ instead of Highland, right? And of course we do. But if it comes down to Highland, you know, I get that he's the guy that we want to see develop and turn into that guy a couple years down the road. But we want to win a championship this year. So I get that he can, and I don't see him controlling the floor, but you're right. The zero turnover is great. And the blow by, like I said, shout out to my dead dad, which he could blow by Brook Lopez, but not hit a three over them. I don't think he could do that. Well, maybe heaven's a crazy place. Maybe if that's what he wants, I don't know. Whatever you want to do, dad, go ahead. But I don't know that in the playoffs, I trust Bones to be in that tight rotation. And it may come to it if Russ's hand. By the way, did you see Russ's outfit today? It was great. I want those pants. I want that beanie. I want the whole thing. Well, first of all, I want the body. To be honest with you, the dad bod is getting kind of crazy right now. I should not be eating Taco Bell. I should not be eating nachos.
Blame it on your pregnant wife.
But no, I cannot. Nothing. My pregnant wife can do nothing wrong. Nothing is her fault. It's all on me. Okay. I got news for you.
Fair.
And everybody out there. But just Bones in the playoffs is bold, highlighted bold question mark for me. And I'm nervous about it.
Let me phrase it a different way, and I think this is one that we're both going to agree with. I'd much rather have Bones be a guy that you go to in certain situations in the playoffs than PJ Tucker. Because instead of the PJ Tucker game, like he's going to be used in a certain role in the postseason, I'd rather it be Bones than PJ Tucker.
Do I need to bring up my dad's bones again? Yeah, I'd rather have anybody's bones than PJ Tucker be a guy in the playoffs.
All right. So I think, okay, we agree. We agree there. That's fair.
No, we totally agree. Okay, so Pajamas plays a completely different role.
Yes.
And in theory, he is this small ball five. He's this guy that can sort of stretch out and stretch out the deep by making shots from the corner, but he can't do that anymore. And I think what Bones may evolve into is a guy that can break down the defense, that can run your second unit, that can sort of have a 0-5 assist to turnover ratio, which he had today. And maybe that's him now. I'm just not convinced of it.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so coming up for the Clippers, we talked about it. A big game on Tuesday against Minnesota, one that the Clippers will be facing a team without Karl Anthony Towns. We don't know if Rudy Gobert will play. He did not play today. Kyle Anderson did not play today.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert not playing today super killed my fantasy season.
Oh, no.
We'll go ahead.
Oh, no. By the way, the Lakers are going to beat the Timberwolves, so that certainly helps the Clippers, because right now the Clippers have 22 losses. Minnesota would be at 21. So Minnesota does have three more wins, but nonetheless, it does help because it brings a team one loss behind, and all of a sudden, if the Clippers beat Minnesota, the Clippers improve to 42-22. Minnesota would be 44-22. So the Clippers would then have a chance to win two games, and all of a sudden you're basically tied up with Minnesota. Clippers have a lot of games left, though. Obviously, they have more games than Minnesota. Two more to be exact after today, I believe. Actually, no, one more to be exact? I can't do my math. They're at 64 Minnesota. The Clippers are at 63. Nonetheless, the Clippers would be, so Minnesota has two more games after today. So the Clippers basically can beat Minnesota, and all of a sudden they have a chance to really get themselves to that three spot and kind of control their own destiny in a way. Obviously, there's a lot of games left. But you win that game, it's huge. And it's going to be a big one. And if you're the Clippers, who knows? I really think that Gobert and Anderson are probably sitting out just to get some rest, possibly, for this game coming up with the Clippers. But that being said, if they do sit out, you're at home, you're on TNT, it's at 7 o'clock, it's a game that you should take care of, Minnesota. As good as they are, without Karl Anthony Towns, I don't think you have an excuse to lose to Minnesota without Kat. What do you think?
So really, the focus becomes Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
All shifts go to Anthony Edwards, right? Like,
and you've got the dudes. You've got all the guys to defend.
That's what I'm saying. You start with T-Man probably, but then you put Kawhi if he's going. Then you put Paul George. If you really just kind of focus on him. Make anybody else beat you. Make it Daniels. Make it Mike Conley. Like you said, slow-mo. If I'm out of the playoffs, then don't make it Gobert. If I'm in the playoffs, then maybe Gobert. Give him a couple of shots. But Anthony Edwards is the focus, and the Clippers should, especially with a few days to game plan, I think the Clippers should win this game, and I believe they will.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Podcast-wise, not entirely sure what our schedule is going to be like. I'm out of here on Wednesday. I'm going to Vegas because I've got the Big West Conference tournament that I have to broadcast. So we'll figure out what we're going to do in terms of recording a podcast. It's possible, Matt, that maybe you'll have somebody on, or maybe do a solo podcast, or we'll figure it out. Maybe I'll be able to jump on and do one from Vegas. We'll talk. But we'll see what the podcast schedule is like this week. It may be a little wonky, so apologies if that is the case. Again, a big thank you to our friends over at Believe for having us. It's great to have you. It's great to be doing a podcast a couple days a week. Hope that all of the people who are just finding this podcast are enjoying it. You can always find me on X at BDMarcus, at MattMattaWarren for Matt. If you give us a 5-star rating or review the podcast, it'd be greatly appreciated, and we will read the reviews on air. We have not gotten a new one yet, and so there are no new ones to read. So Minnesota will be on Tuesday, and then on Thursday it'll be Chicago and Pelicans in a very short road trip, a back-to-back on Thursday and Friday. We'll see how the Clippers do in that one. But until next time, he's Matt, and I'm Brandon, and go Clips.
Go Clips.